Peace and love, everyone. Welcome back to the Universal Love Movement podcast show, this special series on leading through unconditional love. I'm your host, Dr. Carl S. Moore, with co-host Dr. Angela Campbell. Hello, Angela. I bid you adieu today.
Hey, what, I'm happy
wait,
to
time
be
out.
Here.
Angela, bid you adieu goodbye, or is that hello? I don't know what I'm talking about there.
It's okay. Here, I'm
it's
back.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm oh, you're back.
Here now.
I welcome you today. Oh, goodness.
Thank you.
We've had so much fun on this series, really talking about and highlighting our book project, which we've been kind of co-writing for how many years now? Leading through unconditional love.
We're ready now.
Yeah, we've been in the order of the divine intelligence, universal order. So this episode today, we're going to be talking a little bit more about this concept of leading through unconditional love. But how does that really look? Like looking through some case studies and some, because it's, you know, if you've listened to other episodes, then you may wonder, okay, how does this show up? What am I to do, or what can others do? And if you haven't listened to other ones and this is your first one, you can know that there's so much science, seriously, and sociology behind this. So, as with all other shows, I want to start off with the intention or the invitation for everyone to really think of themselves and seat themselves in their sole purpose. When we think about ourselves as leaders that can be humanizing, right, to ourselves, humanizing to others, and in our sole purpose. And I want to honor the leaders today that are on the cutting edge, as we would say, of leading through humanized forms and ways of being, because that is what we are continuing to promote and provide space for. And we want to honor and thank the love and authentic power that's in the world, and the ancestors that have come before us, those that are around us now, and those that will continue to walk in the future and promoting just a better world, right? Evolution of life. Turning it over to you, Angela, for my affirmation.
Okay, so this is a quote from Dr. Maya Angelou. She said, "Have enough courage to trust, love one more time, and always one more time." Think about that, or feel it. Be in a state of considering having the courage to trust and to love one more time and always one more time. Part of the reason why we wanted to really focus on specific cases and the challenges and ways to optimize the 3H unconditional love leadership model paradigm is because it takes a lot of courage to face what's not working in our lives and mm-hmm. what's not working in our organizations, in the workplace. And this courage requires trust and persistence, right? To love again and again and again, one more time and always one more time. Mm. And it requires presence power. Eckhart Tolle talks about, you know, the power of presence allows you to keep going. And we want you to think about this as we talk about specific sources of contrast that that challenge us in the workplace. So for example, restoring relational trust when it's breached, the gossip, right?
Right, right.
Confusion. Different issues dealing with supervision and management, managing up and managing down. So those are, you know, just a couple of different things. There's so many. There's an endless exhaustive list, right?
I appreciate all of that. I do think that those teasers of different types. You said gossip, confusion, managing up and managing down. Go so well with the word that you had mentioned, contrast, which we really want to just unpack for you all really quick as we just dive into some of those pieces, right? It's when we look at the quote that you mentioned, love one more time, right? The growth and the learning and the transformation is usually most in those. It's like what you hear in leadership think now, where people say this is an opportunity. It is. Most innovation, the greatest innovations have come through lack or the contrast. So when we say contrast, we say these are calling you to think of something in a different or new way, and it's giving you just enough difference or variation or fuel. When you think about a positive and negative charge or opposites or friction, that like fire that's caused, or you imagine a stick rubbing against a rock or something like that, to ignite some type of flame, not to burn something down, but to actually transform. We think about the transformative piece. Now, we do know that contrast can, in fact, do the other. It can be destructive and tear things down. And that's exactly what a mind, if you were to listen, or if you listen now to the, you know, the 3H model of heart, head, hands, that's exactly what we are promoting with this lead through unconditional love, so that you are framed in such a way where these opportunities are in fact transformative. And the more even traumatic at times they can be, or the more contrasting, the more learning that can happen and occur. So we're really, really excited about that, Angela. And as a leader, as both as leaders, as you all are leaders that are listening to this, what do you think might be a good example? And I'll give you, or I don't know if you want me to go first, but an example of an area that you feel most people want to see, how does this show up? Because you know, sometimes you have that face like, okay, but this happened. How am I supposed to lead through unconditional love in this way? How do you want to approach that, Angela? You want to ask me a question? We ask you a tough one. Each of us ask each other a tough one. How would you like to approach that?
Sure. I mean, when we think about, you know, cases of contrast, right? Challenges, life situations. And, you know, it's easy to love when people are lovable, right? That's not...
Right, that's the easy part.
Difficult to do. So we're really straight up saying, how do we invite love into a space that is toxic? How do we invite love into a space that is negative, where there are resistance patterns everywhere, people that are resistant or people that are checked out on our teams, where there's been a breach of trust, right? And where maybe the people that we are so-called, you know, leading, and maybe we're not leading so well, right? They don't want to give us another chance. You know, when Maya Angelou says, love one more time and always one more time, how do we bring that into these spaces of contrast? Not easy. Okay.
Angela, that brings up, all right, so I have a scenario. This is a person, I have people that I've worked with in every job, so I'm not outing anyone on this, but you know, sometimes it's kind of interesting when you start talking about these things. It's like, okay, let's look up his LinkedIn, who's he work with. I come with love and without fear, given this example. So I've had situations in the past, whether it's like in university setting, outside of institutions, where, or even at consulting places, where people have felt like, I have evidence and proof that this person was trying to take me down, sabotage me, do whatever, right? Those type of, you know what I'm talking about? Those type of situations.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
When coming from this head, right? Heart, head, hands model, my heart, what I've really had to do with myself, and I'm using this for myself first, not talking about other people. When I've been in those situations where I have evidence, sometimes groups and bodies of people, the most important thing for me was to make sure to first frame my feelings and deal with what I'm feeling. What am I feeling? Am I locating those feelings and understanding what was there? Because sometimes I would ignore the feelings, and I had to really be able to be in those feelings and say, these are pit stops, not destinations. And what am I feeling? What is it triggering and pulling up for me? And when I was able to understand what I want to feel, which is good, because I said, I want to feel good and I want to feel love for these folks regardless, right? I want to love one more time, you know, that type of thing. Then when I was able to do that, then I was able to move forward with head. Now it doesn't change what happened, right? It doesn't change the fact. Sometimes these things are not facts, they're just thoughts, but it doesn't change. I had this proof. And then what I was able to do in those circumstances, or even encourage other people to do, is to say, okay, now let's think about this in terms of your head. What is your goal, Carl? Is it about yourself, the ego of what? Is your goal to resolve this situation so that it doesn't happen in the future? And sometimes it may be both, and sometimes it may change. And then when calibrating and operating off of that, what do I do about it? So sometimes the hands part was a conversation. But what's interesting is that earlier I was all about, let's talk to everybody about everything. Let's continue to talk to people, talk. But then it's become more grace and more understanding and less talking and more question asking and really helping my head. So the hands were helping the head in the sense of like the action. And then, so help me understand. And you, what's very interesting, and I'll stop this and I can get more concrete if needed. In many cases, I understood that, wow, this person would be doing this to anybody regardless, like frogs, hop, scorpion, sting kind of thing. And it wasn't about me. Now, although it could have done me some harm, but it really just took the edge off of like this, oh, feeling like it was personally me. It didn't change those situations nonetheless, that they were maybe even destructive or not even professional, not even okay at times. It's not saying that everything's okay. It was just sort of me being more so healthier in my own skin and not taking that information from my spirit and carrying it around in my heart being heavy, which could lead to like health conditions and all types of like disgruntled nature, where I was able to then be around those folks. There are plenty of folks right now that I could call that I know, for whatever reason within them, which is another thing that we get into in the book, did not necessarily have my best interest in mind. But as I learned in the Four Agreements and some different spiritual teachings, you know, don't take things personal kind of thing, right? And that's a part. So I don't know how concrete that seems, and listening to it, Angela, you could let me know, keep me honest about that. But that's one way of like this head, heart, in situations and scenarios where you feel like someone's been backbiting, or whether it's a person who reports to you, a teammate or what have you, being able to frame your heart and your feelings and locate those feelings, and being able to make sure your mind is right before taking any action. Because earlier in my career, I took action, and I was always a loving kind of like whatever person, but sometimes that the action that I would have would be harmful to myself because of holding it in. Everyone doesn't always flip out on other folks. Sometimes people victimize themselves with some of these things. What did I do wrong? You know, so, and there's so much more that we get into in the book with that. So what say you to that, Angela? What needs to be unpacked there?
No, it's a lot, and it's really good. Really, really good. So it's a couple of things, you know. When people release that negative energy, such as you say, you know, whether that's backbiting, gossip in our direction, it really releases a boomerang effect on them. So what's important for us to remember is that we have the power, if we stay conscious enough, we can remember to love ourselves unconditionally. So there's a condition of negativity directed at our way. We have to stay deeply connected to our love for ourselves. Yes. What someone else thinks, says, and does that's negative,
it's none of our business.
It's none of our business. It is none of our business. It is not your business to be concerned about someone's jealousy of you and their negativity out of their own insecurity. But what is so powerful, you know, one of the sayings from the Abraham Hicks teachings is that one person connected to the source is more powerful than millions who are not. So the power of you staying connected to your own soul, connected to your own source of love for yourself, is so powerful that it protects you. And when we raise our vibration and we hold our vibration to that loving space, it is powerful enough to actually transmute those negative conditions. They will dissolve in time. If we stay consistent enough, and you and I have talked about it, and we've been successful and we have failed at it. Right? But in the times that we've been successful, we held our vibration. We call it that. Like we held on to what we know.
Almost always. It's a crucial ingredient. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So the times that I haven't done that, when I got sucked in, right? Mm-hmm. I let where I was, or it could be that I wasn't there in the first place, right? So then I became a target. So regardless, when things happen, remember the power in that present moment to stay alert and to stay deeply present to the love that resides deeply within ourselves. And that love means that I have compassion for those that have momentarily lost their minds, or who have who are emitting a negative vibration. The other part that's really important that we talk about in this chapter is that no one person that's emitting a negative energy is just pure evil, just total negativity. There's some light in there. If a person is still breathing,
there's a chance. Yes, indeed.
I could be wrong.
You know, no, I don't think you're wrong. I'm going to go out and let me say you're not. You're not wrong.
I'd rather kind of lean into the belief that there may be some light in there.
Yes, indeed.
So
yes, indeed.
It's not my job to alter someone else's reality, or to force my view on them, or to. I love you. So love me back. Love me back to you.
Right. This is not that.
No, it's just the recognition that we have a shared humanity regardless. And that I'm still going to send love and light your way. That does not mean codependency or being a doormat or lowering your standards. Not at all. It just means that I turn my attention to what is good, what keeps me inspired. I'm going to continue to do my work the best that I can. I'm going to contribute to the common good in the workplace. And sometimes that means that you may have to fill out a report. That might mean that you have to make some tough decisions. We are saying make those tough decisions out of a spirit of loving kindness and respect. That's what we're saying. We're not saying love means you let people just run all over the place and do
right.
Love.
No.
That's not actually love.
And Angela, I love what you're saying, because I think that's what people often think. And they think of that I'm often, or in the past I was like, oh, Carl, you're all about love. It's like, no, I love others. I love me as well. And that's why I love that you started there, because I do think that sometimes that people think it's a either or. It's all at the same time. So I really, really, really appreciate that. And there is this whole idea of tough love that people think, which becomes a way of like taking this love, which is constructive and empowering and life-giving. And sometimes that could be like misused or used in or weaponized, I guess I would say. And for folks to know whether it's tough or not or whatever, it really does go back to what you're saying, Angela. And this whole concept of like this, the motto, which is like the heart, how do you feel, right? Or because if I'm coming from a tough love standpoint and I'm feeling good and loving about the person and not this aggression type of thing, but I'm doing it like, those of us who have like loved ones that you felt, man, this person's doing this because they care. It's different than someone doing something and their energy within them is very aggressive or how they may feel, but then they kind of try to veil it in this whole, I'm doing this as tough love, so it can be a little sneaky. And in the chapter, we're going to get into discussing some of those pieces. And I want you to remember, based off of the model of head heart, that coherence that we talked about, because this self love that Angela just spoke about will foster that coherence where your head and your heart are in alignment. And it emphasizes the importance of just being clear in what you do. That's what we want. We want you to be clear. Angela, I know we don't have tons of time, but case study wise, if I were to ask you, if you're dealing with a person in a sense of, you know, you are, we dealt with a backbiting kind of gossipy kind of thing. If you are a supervisor, or you can try the other one, or supervisee, and this person's just not doing their work, or you're dealing with a leader that just is like, and I'll try to take the other one that you don't take quickly before we close. How do you lead through unconditional love with that such a scenario? And this is a person who's supervising you, and they are really, you know, they're running you into the ground, and they're not humanizing you. How do you humanize somebody who is not humanizing you? Or you actually are the person who is trying, you know, is working, and this worker's not working, and you find it as disrespectful or whatever, you know, because they're not doing any of their work, and you have a lot of pressure on you because right. They aren't doing their work. What, choose one of those and walk us through, sure. Like, you know.
Sure. No. So let's take I'm a supervisor, and mm-hmm, I have a direct mm-hmm. report. And my direct report is slacking, not fulfilling his responsibilities. And again, just hypothetically, we could apply the model, the 3H model here. So the first thing is to align oneself and to recognize that you have a responsibility. And the responsibility is to give honest, fair feedback. Hold that person lovingly accountable to fulfill their tasks. And as a part of that loving accountability kind of management system, you want to give a person all that they need to be successful. Everything is energy. And so it's really important that we have high expectations, but that we also attribute good motive to the people who work for us, that we think well of them, that we believe in them, that we believe that people can learn and grow. Now, a couple things. One, what have I done to support this person in being the best version of themselves? And let's have a conversation. So the first thing is communication is key. To have compassionate, respectful, and truthful conversation that is clear, that clarifies what the expectations are, that asks a lot of questions. You talk about, you know, stoking curiosity. So, you know, so what's going on? This is what I expected, but this is what happened, or what didn't happen that I expected to happen. Can you talk to me about that, right? Give that person an opportunity to enter a safe yet a brave and truthful space. Love doesn't mean we don't tell the truth. Love is courageous. Right.
That's courageous.
Love is courageous. And you can be kind and courageous and corrective at the same time. You can correct behavior and you give someone what they need. I like to start off with giving positive feedback. I like to start off with setting a clear intention and to say that I'm gonna share, you know, strengths, and I'm also gonna share areas for growth. And then I'll start off with the positives, right? And then I'll go into specific evidence-based, you know, situations of where expectations were not met. And then ask some questions about like what happened here. So we can understand why there was a decline in the quality of work, right? Love should inspire excellence. If excellence isn't there, we have to ask some questions, right? What is impeding consistency and quality? And how can we address that? Love inspires excellence. So if you don't have excellence, there's something going on. We need to understand it. And then ask mm-hmm. the person, are they willing to either, you know, talk, speak to that, get additional training, get additional supports. And guess what? Sometimes it might mean they don't want to do the work that you want them to do. Right. And part of the conversation could be a conversation about, let's find out what you really want to do. And let's get you there. Let's get you on your love track, on your love journey. You want to do the work you love to do, right?
And Angela, that's that part right there. And what you just, and you, I want you to continue. That's something that you have to be coming from a right space to truly mean it. Well, not a right, from a loving space to truly mean it, in terms of, hey, what do you like to do? Because I care about you as a person.
Right. Yes.
You can't, if you just focus on the bottom line, you might miss the opportunity. That person may be able to be better suited for something else, or the recalibration of those duties that they're doing to a greater end. And that's what we do in, you know, StrengthsFinder. You know how excited I am about that. You know,
I love
it's this capacities based, you know, so it is an opportunity with that. So I'm sorry, I don't want to cut off your last piece, but I just really wanted to drill into that because that's missed a lot.
I you said it. We got to come from the ethos of love requires, or I would say love inspires care and compassion and respect. And so you can communicate anything if you are genuinely loving. You can fire a person.
Oh yeah,
with love and respect.
No, it is true. We used to do this thing, and I remember learning about, and I loved how they did this. At the time, I was like, "Why are you doing that? That's not." It was counseling people out of positions. Now, I wouldn't counsel a person out now because I think it's like towards a certain end. But it was when I was training as in student affairs, where we would, in the most loving way, create a learning opportunity for whoever it was. Because you're dealing with students who are at the beginning of their professional careers. And even if someone's like 18 or 80, regardless in a job, I really do love my foundations of saying, hey, let's see how this can be a learning opportunity for that person. And later on, I've added on the curiosity to add to what you're saying right there. Let's be curious enough to really add that care. And without the curiosity, with your heart not being in, if your heart's in a place that's kind of open and your head's in a certain place, those hands can be kind of welcoming and kind of summoning folks in. And reminds me of, I don't know if y'all, if you know the name, if you know who sings this song, then you know. If you don't, you don't. It's a song that is called Love Takes Time. That just came when you were talking earlier. And I was thinking to myself, it does take time because you can't be efficient with people. That's a Stephen Covey quote from way back when. And you take the time to, at the very beginning, set clear expectations, co-collaborating. And it will take you a lot further. Then you can have that as a mirror to hold up collectively, partnering with people if as a supervisor. And Angela, I don't know if I want to give the example about the supervisee with the, well, I'll just say this quickly before we end, and then I'll give it to you for final words. If I am a supervisee and I have a supervisor, I've had some interesting supervisors in my time. And I mean, but all of them I've loved. And now I'm not saying I'm better or worse than anyone, but maintaining that love frequency, because if you look at them for exactly who they are and learn to love what they're doing, I'm pretty sure that no one's all bad. And in part of the positive psychology or just certain other frames that are, you know, too many to name right now, it's like focusing on the positive. What do they do that you can grow from and benefit from? You might need to establish certain boundaries, and there's not always, doesn't have to always be an antagonism, and you can love yourself enough to remove yourself from the situation. But while you are in certain situations, if it is so horrible for you, you have a choice, right? And I would say that in the instances where I've looked at my supervisors from a loving lens, like, oh, they have a superpower here. There's something that they're doing that really, and what is this saying about me that I need to work on, so that whatever I need to work on, why is this rubbing me the wrong way? And sometimes, not sometimes, in my latter half of my career, part of my career, it's always been that I've been leaving jobs because of my inability or me loving myself or unwillingness rather to put myself in a situation where I'm constantly thinking, but I have tried. In other situations, I've tried, and it's like, oh man, this is a person that nobody would really like to work with, but I love working with this person because I think they're awesome. And they're like, oh, howdy, I'm not doing anything. I'm just looking at their capacity. So I think there's supervisors get a bad rap because the curiosity goes both ways. Sometimes it's like, be curious about that. And you may not always have someone who's willing to be vulnerable and share with you or what have you, but just loving oneself enough to know that carrying around anything heavy about anyone without it being expressed or released in a positive way is not going to help. So we talk more about that in a chapter. That's like a big part, like this dealing with supervisors. And it's really coming around self-management. You'll be surprised at the amount of self-management that is required in all of this. And everything else just magically kind of works. And we are so committed and so sure and so resolute in our promotion of these. And so, Angela, turning over to you, as you can see, we're very excited, folks, about these case studies when you all dig into the book and really dig through. And it's too much to pack into like a 10 or 15 minute conversation. But Angela, what say you before we part ways with our guests for today?
Well, I'm just going to harken back to something you said about love taking time. And I would also invite us to consider that love is timeless and that it can only be experienced now in the present moment, and to remember that. So when we put off loving to the future or we focus on love in the past, it loses its power because the power is in the present moment. Love now. Right now. Find a way to focus on the most loving parts of yourself and the most loving parts of another person's personality. Gary Zukav talks about that in Seed of the Soul. Focus on the most loving parts of the personality of your supervisor and your direct report. And allow that to grow, because what we focus on expands. And love is so powerful. And it's an act of love to do that. It may not mean that you have all the warm and fuzzies for a person. You may not necessarily like a person. Love is deeper than that. Love is saying, I'm going to persist. I'm going to love one more time. And I'm going to treat you with respect. You know, when Jesus says, love your enemies is loving yourself enough to love one more time, to give a person an opportunity to see and feel the highest part of your loving personality. It's an opportunity. And it can only happen now because life is happening. In the present moment, it's beautiful to plan for the future. We do that a lot, and we talk a lot about the past, and it has its value. But all of that, the power of life is only happening now. So I say, love now. Love as much as you can right now.
Wow. Charged up myself, Angela. Thank you so much.
Likewise.
What are you feeling right now? Where's your mind right now? What are you doing right now? This has been another episode of the Universal Love Movement Podcast special series on leading with unconditional or through unconditional love with Dr. Angela Campbell. I'm also Dr. Carl Esmore, Angela and Carl. And we just send you lots of love and light as you move forward. And, you know, we hope that you click on all these other episodes, and we send you lots of peace and love and thank you, and look forward to seeing you next time.
Love and light.